away. And the other services all are. I mean, look at the area that I spend most of my time in now. You've got police authorities, court authorities, correction authorities, prosecution authorities, and defense authorities, and social service alternative authority, all of whom have very distinct bureaucracies, and all of whom barely talk to each other in the larger urban centers. I think you're going to have to look at that particular group of service entities and say, how do you can't take that and impose that whole thing in the village. And as long as that form of organization is maintained, the justice form of organization is maintained, then it's highly resistant to any village ever getting a piece of the justice action. So justice will always be an imposed activity rather than something that can be that the local people can get a handle on. Now, there's some of you are aware the North Slope Borough, in particular, is moving in the direction of consolidated census services and their public safety concepts, and that, in my mind, a step in the right direction. It's a very small step, and it's only very local. How do you, there is a Title 29 problem, pardon me, Robert, but
sure,
this is the second address, and that is there is absolutely no adequate articulation of the relationship between the city and the borough. Built-in combat between those two entities, and that has to be addressed. I'm not going to talk about answers to that here, but it has to be addressed. Sorry, Vic, you guys really screwed up the concept.
I'm glad you identified it. I always
But I noticed that one of the aspects of the sort of point in that relationship is the borough can make a power move against the city to sort of scoop up any kind of activity that looks good to it. If it's lost the goose, maybe it's lost the gander. How about giving local government the power to scoop up state services by making a local vote and requiring a percentage of the budget, of the state budget that is allocated to that area for that service, automatically devolves to the regional government? That's not going to happen, of course. But it'd be fun to see it tried. There's another topic, another big topic. You mentioned, Roger, the question of equity, or Mark mentioned equity. And that's a very big topic and ought to be treated separately. I know Rick Arnett worked on that, I remember, in the attempting to define equalization formulas for oil revenue, and everybody take a little crack, a little piece of it. Right? That's sort of another sort of subcommittee activity, as it were, that needs addressing over, and it's not going to be solved in 1 year. But there is no consensus in the state, and there are really no guidelines to what constitutes equity between urban and rural and need areas and income sources and so on. And this needs a lot of development in that area, and we haven't really begun.
Okay. Basically, let me say something right here. I went through the exercise with REAAs as well as a lot of people sitting around, and it began exactly like this. With a bunch of people sitting down in varying areas of influence, both political, economic, and personal. And eventually, a consensus was after 2.5 years came out of it. And it had stringent deadlines, but it came. And the damn thing worked. The problem was solved. Much to the disgust of other people, but it did happen. And I feel somewhat that this type of exercise could be fruitful, or at least as meaningful, in the addressing of this large problem. And there was a handle with it. After him, we would take a 5-minute break, okay? I've been drinking warm coffee all morning.
I'm
going to
follow you. I'm Bob Malkowski. I'd like to comment on the idea of state services delivered by local municipalities. The Bureau of Indian Affairs, which Matt Black can speak about later, has a program of the IRAs where they want to pump money into the IRAs to make them capable of administrative programs. And they're coming up with a task. It's taken a year, 2 years in some of the governments, maybe a little longer in some of the others, but they are capable of it if they're given the chance to develop it. They have the funds to run their programs. But the local governments now, through the revenue transfer program, don't have that. I think coming in with an unorganized borough before the local governments are on their feet will just create another problem. We just have one entity on the scene. We've already got 8 governments in manner, even as it is, including the Park Service, Fish and Wildlife, BLM, the state, the IRA, the Texas Class City, the Coastal Resource Service Area, and the school district. But all those governments, I don't think none of them is going to help the actual local people. City of Solo is trying to formulate ordinances to deal with problems of alcoholism, and they can't find expert help just to help them write an ordinance that they end up in court. Alaska Legal Services can't represent them because of conflicts of interest, and their attempts to get help from the state have been frustrated. They've got a problem there, and there's a village of 600 people that's willing to deal with alcoholism if they could. They can't get the help to do it. Village Mandler has no ordinance. They don't know how to write them. There's no one to help.
Those are
some of the problems that we have.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break and we'll be right back.
Just don't disappear.
Yeah.
Into the glory of Quinn.
Putting down on the blue and the reds on that sheet where we are, and then start trying to pull it together so that it becomes topical in different areas. So far, we've identified regional difficulties and the concept of regional planning, the delivery of state services, equity in revenue sharing, a whole bunch of things that are starting to place themselves into topic. And what I'd like to do is to continue that for a few more minutes, get a few more ideas down, get more problems and issues out, and then start defining where we want to be as we tie them into a ball.
I'd like to make one more comment on this planning thing. With Lydia's permission, Lydia has done an awful lot of work in preparing a process that could be used in an individual community to assist that community in developing a plan for the community. Now, one of the functions, as I understand, of this meeting is to provide some input that would assist the legislature in developing some position or some bills or laws for the upcoming session. And I would like to suggest that perhaps an awful lot more information is required before those kinds of laws or bills or impositions of some government entity could be created. And it might be appropriate to suggest that some model or some process be started whereby the legislature could gain adequate information to make those decisions. Now, I think that information would best be gathered by using something like Lydia has produced here, by creating a situation where each community would have the ability to say, hey, this is who we are, and this is the kind of thing that we need out here. And then that information collectively from a lot of communities would provide the legislature with the necessary information to determine what kind of government should exist out there. I don't think at this point there's the ability to impose a form of government. I don't think that there's enough information to be able to say, hey, we're going to recognize IRA councils or traditional councils, or, you know, and then you've got the racial problem to deal with the IRA and traditional councils, where they serve the native and not the non-native, or vice versa in some cases. If the focus first is on planning, if the goal is to develop legislation to create a coordinated, implementable form of government, whatever it might be, or a collective group of entities that would work together, then more information needs to be gathered.
Will your information need to be regionalized? Because we have something sitting here, known there, interior there.
I suggest that there are three things that we need. We need local government or local control, local self-determination. We need regional coordination, and we need comprehensive state planning. Okay, all three of these things need to be tied together. The most basic, okay, the grassroots stuff, the local government, okay, and what it should be and how it should be, is, does not exist in a lot of places. The information to make it exist is not available. It's not currently in our hands. We don't know what the people out there collectively want. And so the solution to the problem of local government, local control, local administration of services and programs seems like it should rest at the local community level, and seems like it should fit within the guidelines of something like Lydia's working on here. If the state would say, encourage this kind of planning to occur in the communities, and get away from the concept of land use and zoning at the moment, and just look at who the community is and what it is and where it wants to be and how it wants to govern itself, you might get a lot more information. I mean, sitting around this table speculating isn't going to work.
Can you expand on what Lydia's methods are?
What would you like? I didn't even know the gentleman. I'm glad is using something that I say very preliminary. But in my country, only the midwife always travel with a little purse and has all the tools just in case. And so I guess I'm the midwife, because just in case I had a copy of what he's talking about. And in fact, I don't know if it's a compliment, but some people, they have guys, young native, they were in my office, and they called me planning missionary. To the effect of what the missionary, my definition of missionary is, I don't know if it was a compliment or not. But anyhow, no, what I have done, these actually are just notes that I have written to leave behind when I go to a village or when I work with a village in a training program. We tell so many things to the people, not only in Alaska, but in the city, that they are very simple to us, but they don't understand. Like the other day, I was in a place where somebody was talking about banking, and said, the papers are kept by the bank. And luckily, one guy said, what do you mean? No, for us, he said, the paper means, this guy had no idea what that can be, toilet paper or cleaning paper, or he didn't know. So this is what we do all the time. So what I have done, really, is a simple process to explain to people what a planning process is without, without too complex, and start from the regional evaluation to the village. Some of you have seen those village folio, to the village evaluation, where we are today, where we're going to be tomorrow, how we get from here to there, and what tool we need to get there. And until we know that, not only at the regional, at the village level, but everywhere, I don't think the planning process will ever work. So this is not to be a very ambitious thing, it's a teaching tool. And it has become, in fact, that there are some chapters to listen, because more I teach, more I realize that something is missing. But I would like to give a copy to you and a copy to others to see at least what I think planning in Alaska needs to be, and how maybe we can put the pieces together. And I thank you for thinking it's worthwhile. But another thing, I will be going this afternoon. I have, for the first time, my whole family is in Alaska, so I like to spend some time with my, I have a new granddaughter, and I like to see her. But after this has occurred, and the village are aware of who they are, what they want to be, what they want to do, not only the village, native village, but also the small community. If you look at the Matsuboro, they have tremendous problems, because some of those communities don't even know if they exist. They're Houston. It used to be just a sign. Now they're actual houses in a mall, and Houston is growing and going to be a city, maybe. When that is done, then I feel, and I had developed something, I'd like to give a copy to both of you, with the concept. If I don't know how many of you, I said you're too young to remember the Model City Program. What I call the Model Region Program, that OYO had devised as a good thing to give somebody the power of coordination. At the time where these nonprofit corporations develop on their OYO, they can be body appointed by legislative or elected. And I'd like to show you just what I did for ATNA. At this time, ATNA is asked to come and think so far beyond the possibility of knowledge, ranging from who is supposed to be in charge of the whole transportation network, including the new Denali highway that may be built under the digital initiative. The two major parks, where is going to be the entry? Salana, Chitna, we're going to have an airport, we're going to have hotels, and so on. Plus, EDA is looking at new innovative idea of self-determination through economic development. Plus, the state of Alaska is putting out land in the market, like mad, and I hope you slow down a little. Where and how, for what? There is no water, there is no sewer, there is nothing. Plus, there is the social programs all over the place, from BIA through education and so on. Plus, nobody's worried about the environmental mess is going to happen between the Wrangell block and the McKinley block, with all this private ownership along there. So we have two gorgeous parks and can be a complete junkyard from Chittenden to Metastasio Lake and so on. So what Arthur has done, saying, how about us trying to be the coordinator of this? And my suggestion was at the time to prepare a feasibility study, evaluating each piece and see how they can be coordinated, because each one of these agencies start back getting the same information, the same consultant, and there is millions of dollars of waste going on database just on this. So these were the people. I didn't go over and ask to help them. They came to me and said, can you help us? And once this little chart was done, in a few minutes, you know, writing what they were telling me was not a great complex research that was made. So I hope that out of this dialogue come a way to solve this problem, which I think you should look at two things. There is a short-range problem, and these are what we're talking about. And then is a long-range view of this thing with the governmental structure, after we know what the short-range issues are and how they fit into a long-range plan, which I think, you know, Victor and other experts in government have already framed. But we have, I think, am I correct to say we are talking about two things here? We are talking immediate disasters in the bush and also long-range prevention of other disasters that may happen in the next 20 years.
Roger. As coincidence, yeah, to follow up on a meeting like this, I remember several years ago sitting at one of them, and we talked about state operated school. And at that meeting, you know, it came out of, a lot of things came up about decentralizing SOS. And I envisioned this meeting to be the same on local government. Until I know what Mr. Havelock thinks, until he knows that, there's nothing going to come out of this meeting. And I don't know if the Community and Regional Affairs Committee has got an advisory committee. Until these advisory committee are placed by these people in this room, then nothing will happen. SOS was that way.
What was that time from the last one?
If there is an advisory committee to the, you know, to the Community and Regional Affairs Committees. SOS had a committee, an advisory committee, as I call it. Didn't have no conception of what local, rural education was. Even my gentleman from my own town was on that committee. And we raised the damn much hell that Governor Hanna, when he's elected, fired all of them or reappointed them, except for one gentleman from Norvik, so that he can swear us in. In our first meeting, as we well remember, we said we want SOS to be dissolved in 2 years. And we're on that advisory committee, and we did. And I envision something like this coming out of this meeting.
Well, there are some differences that we need to talk about when we speak in that line to it. First, education was a single issue. It had a little bit of motherhood, had a little bit of Molly Hooch, it had some other pressures on it that made it happen on a very timely basis. Secondly, there was a basis in agreement both by educators, who are the providers, and by government, whoever. The third thing was that we worked on a time schedule. Okay, I looked at the committee time schedule for the expenditure of $74,000 and its goal. Overly ambitious was the first thing I told Arlison. This is a very large damn problem. Not going to do it between now and then. You might come up with specificity between now and then, but the problem is going to be there in January, whether you have it or not. And so I think if we put those in context and say, hey, we're looking at 2, 3, 4, 20 years coming up, we can do my own group.
Well,
you know, as moderator, I reserve the right to object.
I'd like to make a comment on that. The legislative process isn't necessarily very tidy or have much continuity. And between, I think there's been some good work done by a lot of people over the last 10 years. But then the problem seems to fall down until there's some crisis situations, there's some pressures, and it's picked up. And I guess Bill and I, perhaps, although a whole lot of words and it is overambitious. Perhaps realistically we have more modest goals. If we can educate a little bit of what turns out to be pretty primarily urban-based people on the two committees, if we can learn, if we can just get some dialogue going, and if maybe out of it, maybe we can develop some charts of things that happen, and maybe they're just going to be modest beginnings, but that we can do like that, you talk in terms of, you know, maybe the short range and the longer term, make a beginning, because it's going to fall down. If we fail, it'll fall down again until it's back. And the spaghetti map is going to get worse and worse and worse. So we don't expect to deliver a nice, tidy package, but if you can help us make a beginning at least, and maybe they'll be modest, but if we can achieve that, at least it's a beginning. Bill, do you agree with
that? Yeah, in fact, maybe the best thing we can do now is figure out what is the one single best thing we can do from this meeting as far as preparing something for the next legislature. If it's just one thing, is it drawing those lines on the boundary? Is it, I don't know what all the options are.
Phil, I might suggest.
Phil, first, Well, I just wanted to say we're still sort of in the phase of articulating problems and issues. Maybe in answer to Bill's question, what is the one thing that we could do? Be to jam a resolution through the legislature next year saying that it is the public policy of the state of Alaska that it is in the public interest that villages exist. And then, you know, maybe the next step that we might take a look at is, and I recognize and appreciate the fact that it's a bag of worms, but I think we have to look at something that Maury brought up called equity. And we need to define that. We have to look at it in the context of an overall economic policy. You know, the energy problem, which is my latest soapbox, it's forcing villages out of existence. It's forcing changes in lifestyle very rapidly. It's forcing people to a cash economic system within the community so they can afford to buy fuel, pulling them away from subsistence activities and things like that. I think that we, you know, collectively, legislatively and with the administration and with the involvement of regional representation and village representation, have to achieve some sense of public equity after we make the policy assumption that villages ought to exist. Because if we don't, we are going to find, I believe, in 15 or 20 years, that villages have either gone away completely or they are welfare fiefdoms of the Bureau of Indian Affairs and other entities which provide assistance. Thankfully, we have a policy generally in this country that we don't permit people to starve to death. You know, but I think that the vision of the people who drafted the Constitution of the State of Alaska was a little bit broader than individual survival for citizens. I think it did have to do with self-determination. I think it did have to do with self-reliance and a very difficult problem. But we got to look at it. We cannot really talk about villages where they were 5 years ago or where they are today and assume that the process that might be set in motion here is dealing with a static situation in rural Alaska. I think it's dealing with a situation that's getting increasingly more tenuous in economic terms. Toss that up as a problem.
Actually, he said a few things that I wanted to say. I want to make one comment, though, further in. Like education, as a single service entity, planning could also be a single service entity. And if there's risk to the state in terms of zoning and land use planning, there could be a solution that would eliminate land use planning and zoning during at least the first phase. Again, this is a long-range solution, and it would take many years to accomplish. If some thought were given to service areas instead of local governments right now for planning purposes, that probably would lead to the solution, okay? Or at least, in my opinion, it would lead to the solution. And I think there are a lot of mechanisms right now that are capable of coordinating that. You've got the Native corporations, you've got Community Regional Affairs, you've got DPDP. If the three groups were coordinated, and if the legislature were to take some initiative to get rural planning started, get it off the ground, get some get away from the negative thing, hey, you're not a municipality, so you don't have power to implement, so why the hell should you plan? And get into saying, hey, you know, let's get something going here. Let's find a way to make the system work. I think that we could accomplish something.
I would like to pick up that point. My background, of course, is in professional planning, so I'm all for effective rural planning. But I've heard exactly the same statements made by the educators who said, we've got a problem now, let's deal with it. Let's establish educational districts. And Byron Malotin and a bunch of us at the time were saying, think about it in terms of what you're doing. And as John Havelock says, we now have REAs and they're in effect something out there on the boundaries of boroughs and so on. The health people have been saying exactly the same thing. Let's go out and establish health service areas. And we'll have exactly the same kind of proliferation that you and others are complaining about, because no one will then be able to control it. You'll have separate bureaucracies for health, education, planning, coastal management, and every other damn thing. Every one of them will say, well, we are out to coordinate, and then Nana will come to the governor and say, listen, everything is going in all directions at the same time. So that if anything we need right now is some kind of a concept for unification. Planning needs to be part of it, but not just sort of taking planning off as a separate service and sending it off in its own way.
See, I see, maybe if you read the little simple book that I do, that I have prepared, planning is everything to me. Maybe he's a planning missionary. Planning is not the only, planning is not the only physical layout of the land. Planning is the determined interrelationship of the physical, social, economic need of an area. Therefore, this is what worries me, because you are giving education one piece. And they say, okay, here, the school location goes with education. Actually, the school location is a function of the whole planning, physical planning process. Then you have all these pieces. And I feel, to me, I think planning is a priority, then tie these things where you do have these boards of for education, the criminal justice or the slum, which is a part of a total planning process. So I could see that maybe, because this is why I ran for office, really, to see why things didn't happen, and because they are so scattered. If the planning commission was not called a planning and zoning that people fear when they're reading through planning commission, they will look at social, economic, and physical planning on a broad scale that led the legal implementation for zoning to one thing, the education to another, and the OEDP committee to another, which is a part of the total concept. But this is my philosophy.
You know, I hear you using the word planning differently.
That's the point.
I'm not quite sure. Ray's version and Libby's version and Vic's version are all the same thing.
That is the point. So the definition of planning is the key in this show.
The way you use it, I heard you say
planning
what
is.
Vic suggested happened, which he objected to when Ray said do planning.
Well, my point is that planning is, if 20 years ago, planning, board, with the responsibility to look at the interrelationship of social, physical, economic things that occur in the bush have functioned, we would have then a planning board with subcommittee or sub-board for education, transportation, economic development, rather than have all these boards. But this is, again, a matter of semantics. This is what I see, and I wonder if the other people that work with the village see the same thing. I don't know.
I agree with you.
Want to ask either Vic or Lydia. I mean, any planning.
You'll get a different answer.
Well, goals and objectives. What is planning for you guys?
Planning, to me, is a process that helps you solve problems, arrive at goals, and sort of. And you can plan for anything. You can plan at any level. You know, you can plan how to hold a meeting like this, or plan for education, plan for a region, for a city. But my objection, I wasn't concerned with the kind of planning we're talking about. My planning is as broad as anybody's, probably broader. My concern is we're setting up a separate governmental entity to do planning, and only planning, because I have seen that. And it's a useless disaster.
It should be a coordination of management.
And I wouldn't suggest that.
I don't suggest that either.
You guys quit suggesting it's useless stuff.
So, my name is Matthew. I am the president of the NOMIRA. I'd like to set some scope on the IRA function in the state of Alaska. First of all, there's the statement of the problem in the handbook, number 5. It's a misconception, I guess, you can see, is that the resource and trust groups are limited to 21 Alaska Natives. when these programs comes around, they're regulated to who we can service. You know, we have no say-so of who we can service. We usually go after the funds. Then they in turn stipulate us what we can do with those funds, okay? So this is a misconception not from our part, but from the part of who's giving us the money. So I also like to point out on the yellow hand, yellow pink hand color. This is the organization and act of the council, traditional council. Sure, we are recognized by the federal government because our constitution and bylaws are in turn written off with the Secretary of Interior for us to operate. I guess you can say that in the same way as us being a satellite country of the United States and the United States having the final say-so. That's our most weakest point.
Mm-hmm.
But we are recognized by the federal government, and also the city councils are also recognized by the federal government. If we cannot deliver the services, we have a final say-so on the delivery of service from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Indian Health Service, another federal organization that are delivering the service to us. If we cannot deliver the service, we can pass a resolution to the tribal organization, the city council, or whomever to deliver the service over to us, okay? I have a final say so on that. But what we would also like to see is for the state to recognize this. If the state goes through the city councils, and if the city councils cannot deliver the service to the people, instead of giving the money back or losing on some of the programs that they can contract, or bring the services to it, I think the city council should also give us a resolution for us to perform that service instead of losing it. We're in threefold. We structure our constitution and bylaws is states that we look after the culture aspect, the social and economic development of the people, and we're self-government. And we pretty well have the basis down on what the local government or what the local people need as to the delivery of the services. We have been trying to influence the city governments to act on behalf of some of the programs they're running, or maybe even combined instead of us, you know, like Nano Region and Grass Radiator Corporation, instead of them functioning independently, they could merge, you know, like the city government and the IRA to, since we're all the same people, and we're all supposed to be the citizens of Alaska. I don't know why we have to recognize as such. That we could combine ourselves and deliver most of these services that has been plaguing us for years. Also, they have one recommendation also. Seems like we're speaking out on behalf of all the people in the state of Alaska, and we're trying to come up with a solution of the problems and trying to bring out the solution. I think we should have some sort of an overall development plan on every village, every region, and work from there instead of working like, I think this is what they need, or their needs are this well solved from here. Because just like this meeting here, we're talking about the IRA council, the traditional councils, but we ourselves were not notified that there was a meeting of such, you know, saying it's going to affect our future. So far we've been left out. It's about time we start planning, helping developing the plan for our needs, because we ourselves are local, and we have, and we realize the need locally instead of regionally. Okay. Basically, culture, social, other than culture, social, and economic, we at NOMI area are monitoring, evaluating, and redesigning programs that are within our area. We monitor the NOMI Public Schools, the Johnson and Miller Program, North and South Health Corporation, COAR, Northwest Community College, and we're advocating local hire, local buying for federal agencies that are spending money there. We're doing everything locally, but somehow or another, we're still not recognized by the state. We are recognized by the state in the fact that they asked us when they came up with the weatherization project, who the houses they were going to fix. You know, that this was an overall thing. We told them that, you know, here's the basic needs. And we didn't just include natives. We included other non-natives that have the basic needs in order to tell the state, look, we can do it ourselves. Instead of somebody coming from down 48 and delivering the service to us, we can deliver the service to the people, plus include non-natives too. It works both ways. So far, all we ever see is a lot of people from elsewhere coming over with a spread that eventually save us or see the need and solve the whole works for us. It's either we need local control, and also we need some kind of a regional coordination, you know, like Quart Incorporated is a tribal organization that derives some sort of a power from us. We give them a resolution to operate different programs that we cannot program. That is one of the basic programs the state of Alaska delivers to our area is adult basic education. So we give a resolution for the Quart saying that on behalf of us, we run that program, since we were too far in our scope to run ourselves. It's a regional thing. And I'm sure if the city governments cannot deliver such services as planning on intercontinental shelf coastal zone management, that type, it should be in turn, the state should recognize the village's resolution for a tribal organization or somebody to deliver their services.
Marty?
In Southeast, I think we have some of the same problems as other rural areas of Alaska. I think we have a lot of problems that are not the same. Most all the villages, other than the logging camps, are all organized under state law, with municipal governments. They also have IRA traditional councils, which is recognized by the federal government as being under 93638, as being a tribal governing body, and receives money as such, and we pay their game, do all the things they want to get those money. We also have our Tlingit and Haida Indians of Alaska that's recognized by Congress as the tribal governing body for southeastern Alaska, and all of us Tlingit and Haida for southeast, which is the large contractor and subcontractor of DIA programs, etc. We also have the village corporation, which is the landholders around our village itself. And then we have the regional corporation, which is a very large landholder for all adjoining lands around the villages themselves of the municipality, so-called 1 mile almost across of this village. And they hold all the resources. So our problems are much different. Who are you going to deal with? We have turf protecting within each village, within each organization. The RA consuls are eligible for money that needed to Clinton and Hyder are eligible for, nor the city governments are eligible for. And so we have multiple governments within the village. I happen to be kind of unique, and I sit on our elected official and also on the IRA council. I'm also on the Clinton and Hyder and the village corporation and our regional corporation. So I know the, you know, the functions that happen.
You're the only one that doesn't have a dirt
problem. But we also, besides that, we have the REAA within South and within the South, the Prince of Wales, those little places, which is a single unit type government. We also have the Health Systems Agency, which is the health delivering entity, which I just resigned off that board. We're not based on Alaska. And we have a state, you know, coordinating council where our plan goes into that. So we've got lots and lots of planning. Just don't have anybody doing. Our buildings are going broke. Our electricity is atrocious in price. We have beautiful secondary treatment plants that nobody can pay the light bills on to run them. And how do we shut them off? Because they're going to force us into bankruptcy. What do we do when we go into bankruptcy? What happens to us? Can we disappear? You know, how do they tear us off and liquidate a bankruptcy in the Indian village? Who wants us?
Well, that raises one other problem. And we're going to start winding down, not because it needs to wind down. I think, hell, if we go all day on issues and problems, that's fine. And if we spend the evening or later in the afternoon tying it together, that's fine too. But basically, there are major happenings in the state of Alaska that have no official recognition within the state. There are 12 regional corporations who are a large economic force, a quasi-government, and a damn good political tool, who has no place in the state of Alaska to even talk to and assume a semblance of recognition. With the demise of the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission, the last official tie to the organized Native community is gone. That's one. Beyond that, there are 211 village corporations who are still searching for a place to land. And Marlene forgot the Alaska Native Brotherhood. We have a social that we all there is a significant movement in rural Alaska as to land management, as to resource development, as to economic development, which will happen whether the state of Alaska likes it or not. And it is damn well time, excuse me, it is very nigh time that we got together. It is my studied opinion that if we had gotten together in the land selection process, I would not give one bloody damn what Uncle Sam did with his D2 land. We could have well controlled access and egress. We could have planned the future of Alaskan resource development and land management. We could have done one hell of a lot of things if the state of Alaska decided 5 years ago to talk to Alaska Native. We are yards ahead of you in resource inventory. We're years ahead of you in land planning. We have economic development plans that have long and short range goals and objectives, and they shall pass. We'll not all going to fail. And somebody ought to be talking to us. Whether it's government or governance, it doesn't matter. Because if we don't talk to you, we're going to talk to the pit. And that would be the example. Excuse me, I didn't mean to. Yes.